You want to, but you also, I think, want to wake up. I mean, yeah. Because the people that are the most awake can get the truth faster and the clear truth, not the truth that's wrapped around all the illusions on the planet. So in all of your communication, did you get messages about what your role is, what you're supposed to do, you?
That's interesting. They don't answer straight as we would like them to say things. Mm-hmm. Rama is a mission of contact between many missions. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what we understood from the experience. But then, individually, we come with our own background.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I went out of Rama, I have some other experiences that, in a way, give more sense to the experience of Rama.
I understand, because I've talked to several contactees or people that have had contact that have been awakened, and they also feel the same way. They get more answers when they on their individual level to do whatever it is they're supposed to do. And that's why I questioned you about being here in the San Fernando Valley in California. And you can you answer what you answered to me, because it was so beautiful the way you put it. You said you about our locations, a lot of people that are working in wanting to get to the truth and unify humanity, so we can't have contact with the cosmos. Why are you here? Why are you in California? I mean, you're from Lima, Peru. You have that culture. That culture is definitely more open and less a distraction than the United States. Why do you feel?
Through the experience of contact, I realized in a personal level of understanding that I'm raising my consciousness, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you are pulling your whole community with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, through an experience, a very hard crisis in myself, I was very close to drown in Peru, I realized that my mission was not in Peu.
Mm-hmm.
I was
already... Wait a minute, we got to... Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
If you grab that phone, I don't want it to...
Good, you give me time to...
Yeah,
do you want water?
I'd love water, thank okay. you. I didn't realize that this was on. Write it when he's talking about what I want him to talk about, too.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to make that statement, so, and then you say that. Okay. What I... talking about contact, and I was saying how that we are not really prepared for contact because these people are so above us, they are so evolved that I don't know what kind of connection or kind of conversation you could have with these people, but you can have a heart connection with them. And then I added that you must be maybe a good person to have a heart connection, and you said that even...
Well, you can be a bad person in a good day. They are not noticing who is good or bad. I don't think they judge us that way. They only see who is raising the vibration now that we are close to you. I don't believe in good people or bad people anymore. I think we all have the potential of just opening our heart. And I've seen people that has been in a wrong position for a very long time to become so humble in front of the experience. So I think we all have the potential to raise our consciousness.
Yeah. And when you say raise the vibration, does it mean that you happen to, at that particular moment, be on a certain vibratory level for them to communicate? And does that mean always meditation?
No, not always meditation, because you can have the attitude of meditation even when you are awake. If you have been for a long time practicing meditation, your mind already comes out. So you can be in that state even when you are talking to people, when you are buying in the stores. So I think the idea is to train yourself to get that level of balance, inner balance, between your physical, your mental, and your spiritual being.
Tell me, when you got this inner balance, Did it come as a result of a tragedy, or was it training? How did you get to the inner balance part?
The aliens mentioned that there was a state of consciousness called the fourth dimension of consciousness. In Rama, it's used to... We talk about this like it's a level we are going to reach as a humankind, right? In the 70s, 80s, everybody was talking about that, but I was not interested in the fourth dimension. I was more into the sighting. I want the ship to come down. I want to have another encounter with these beings. I was all for that. But then they invite me to have this visit inside their ship. And I thought I was ready. I even say explicitly, verbally, I am ready for this. The spaceship was going up, and I said, I am ready. My friends were there.
Where was this?
It was in the Rama meeting location in Lima.
Okay.
In Avenida Brasil, that was the place. And there was an open sky. We saw the ship passing. My friends told me, oh, they are there. And I said, I'm bored of that. I need to be inside. It is time for me to have the experience.
Okay.
That night, that same night, it was around 3 a.m. in the morning, I felt the energy, the buzzing sound going through my head. This time it was going through my chest. I was sleeping. And then I felt it zzz, zzz, like the thing was going through my chest and coming from my back. And then I opened my eyes and saw this being. He was so huge, his head was like this, trying not to touch the ceiling of my room. His hands were like this, and blue light was coming from his hands into my chest. He was like that. And I thought, this must be a dream. I mean, I was sleeping. This is a dream, right? And then the guy kept like this, and I was feeling the energy so intense that I thought, this feels very real. Like that time I was trying to receive the psychography. So I stretched my hand, and he touched my hand, and he stepped to the other side. He was so huge that he was already on the other side of the bed. So he was holding me like this, and I felt the warmth, the feeling in his hand, and I thought, I'm awake. And then I looked to the side, the window was to my side of the bed, and I noticed this bright light pulsating and coming from the side. And then I looked at him, and he told me, are you ready? The feeling, are you ready? And I was not ready.
I can understand that. I can understand that.
I let go of his hand. I went back, and I said, no, I cannot do it. I'm sorry. I said I was ready, but I am not. And it's only because you ask so much for the experience. When you arrive to that moment, it's like you cannot handle it.
I know. It's terrifying. Uh-huh. I know. And so, did you ever? Were you ever ready? Did you finally get in?
Months later, after that experience, because he left me after that. He told me it's okay. There will be a time. And he just went away. He didn't went away. Actually, he stepped close to me, put his hands in, I went unconscious. I woke up feeling like the whole room was moving like this, like I was really drunk the night before. I ran towards the bathroom and I started like trying to...
I
felt something that was like a dark stone, very hard, that went through my throat and went down.
Wow.
I thought that was some kind of healing he did to my body that night. Like 6 months later, I was invited to have the experience. But this time, he told me, it was in a dream, we are inviting you and Renzo and Miguel, other friends of the group. But we were not supposed to talk to each other. We were supposed to arrive to the place, to the location, and at the time, they say, it was in the desert of Chilca. So I went there without saying anything. My backpack, my sleeping bag. I arrived to the place, it's like far away, no cities around, no lights or anything. I waited the first night, waiting for my friends, not for the aliens, but for Renzo and Miguel. They didn't arrive. The next night, I was so afraid because I saw the ships at night, and I told them, I'm not ready to have the experience without my friends. I don't want to have it. And I went to sleep, and this place in the desert is like surrounded by little hills. We call them cerros, like little mountains, and there is like una quebrada, in between the hills there is a pass, mm-hmm. and I woke up around 5 a.m. and I noticed from that pass was a very thick mist, very bright white mist coming at the level of the desert, advancing towards mm-hmm. the position I was. And when I saw that, I thought, that is not normal, and I don't want to be here. But that was the only way back to the highway. So I said, I'm not going to stay until that thing reached me here. So I immediately grabbed my sleeping bag, my backpack, and I started walking. I didn't want to see it at the mist. I just walked and walked and walked.
Did you even think it might be a Zendra?
No. The Zendra normally forms with a specific form. It's like
a dome.
A dome. Yeah, this thing was a mist, thick mist.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk and walk towards the pass between the hills, when suddenly I was already inside the mist. And I said, I'm not going to stop. I was walking. Suddenly I felt the steps close to me. And I thought, maybe the echo of my own steps. I'm okay. I'm all right. Nothing happened. I kept walking when suddenly this sound that made my hairs like,
mm-hmm.
it was like the sound of a piece of metal, a big plank of metal hitting the ground, like, bang, mm-hmm. in the middle of nothing. And that thing was so close that I just stepped there and I prayed to God, they don't approach. I was like, please, I am not ready. I don't want to have the experience today. And I noticed as I stopped, there was something, I don't know if producing or absorbing the mist, something circular moving to my left, and when I tried to turn there, I noticed this silhouette of a very tall guy, at least 9 feet tall, standing there, and then I was getting close to the highway, the bus stop. I sat in the bus and looked at the time, and it was 1 p.m., and I thought, no, it's 4 hours from there to the highway. It should be around 9 a.m. So there are hours that I lost. I don't
really
know what happened.
And you don't know what happened?
In a self-induction, because I'm a hypnotherapist, mm-hmm. I reached the place where I turned to this guy, and he extended his hand and bring me to this kind of like an arch. I went through that, and we were inside this space that had like pyramids that were inverted, like in an orange color. And we went under those things, and that's it.
So you think maybe he took you to where he was from, and it was done through a portal of some kind?
I know for sure he took me to some place, and he gave me some information that I needed to know about my path in a different country. I know for sure he put some kind of program, something that I was supposed to follow, that I shouldn't remember consciously.
Okay.
So in a way, you are like sent to a different place. After that experience, I almost drowned in the ocean. I was swimming with my friends very early in the morning.
This is in Peru.
In Peru, in Lima. And suddenly the ocean became crazy, and my friends were sleeping in the towels, so I was fighting by myself, and I remember that I thought, maybe this is the day I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one. My friends are sleeping, and it was very early. And then I asked, I would like to have at least 5 minutes to say goodbye to my family, to my friends, or to anybody. Mm-hmm. And fighting, suddenly I saw someone swimming from the inside. This guy seemed strong. He was, I don't know, maybe 50 meters. And I thought, this is an angel. Somebody sent him to save me. So I approached him as I could. When I was like 5 meters close to him, he lifts his face, looked at me, and he told me, friend, please help me. I'm drowning here. And I was like, what?
He told you that?
Yeah, he told me that. So I was like, now we are two in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I cannot believe what kind of a sick joke is this. I was like, confronting God at the moment, right? So I immediately give it back to the guy, and I say, I don't care. I'm not going to die today. And I look at the shore and try to swim. But as I was swimming, I realized, if I leave this guy here, And if I get out without him, I'm as dead as I am right now. Mm-hmm. At least he's the only family I have. He's the family I was asking for. What mm-hmm. am I running from?
Did you recognize him as an extraterrestrial?
No.
As he was a human?
He was any other human, any other mm-hmm. guy. So I stopped swimming and got close to him. And he was, like, crying already, very scared too. And I told him, I'm not going to leave you. Either we get out together or we go to the other side together, but we are going to be okay. Nothing happened. So we started fighting together until the moment we couldn't fight anymore. We were so heavy in our arms and legs, and it's like the ocean went back. It just pulled all the water back, and as much as we tried, the thing was still pulling and pulling. And then we realized we couldn't fight anymore. But I was so proud of this warrior to my side. I was in love with the humanity and everything. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was okay. This is the best way to go. And I couldn't say anything else. I just looked at him and smiled, and he realized that that was our moment. That was it. Mm-hmm. And then it was like an explosion of light from my chest in every direction. Like, and the ocean just like relaxed completely. It was like a cup of tea. And we were like, what happened? It was like at the moment I accept I was dead, and I accept that peace, then the whole ocean came peaceful. And we went out. I just leave him in the shore. I didn't even ask for a name or anything. I just walked towards my towel. And then my friend woke up in the towel, and he told me, Enrique, I just had a dream. We are going to the United States, and we are going to be there for a while. And I said, yeah, I think so.
Oh, so that's how you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I realized that day that we are not here by ourselves. At the moment, I realized that we are here for the others. If I tried to save myself that day, mm-hmm. I would have died probably.
Mm-hmm.
He saved me, appearing mm-hmm. to my side.
Right.
I realized that every time you save someone, you save yourself, you save humankind. And I knew I was going to be deposited in some special place. I tried to apply for my visa to Russia, China, United States gave me the visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here, and I realized that we are like a needle in acupuncture. Mm-hmm. You are located exactly at the spot you are supposed to be in order to activate the grid that is in that place. In Rama, they always talk about the number 33 as an activator of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here in California, we are passing through the parallel 33. Somebody told me that. I'm not sure, but it's like we are located in a specific location for a reason. And I'm sure that program they deposit in my mind is related to whatever I'm doing here.
Well, you know, your story is so interesting. And there was an incident in Shasta that you had. Do you want to talk about that really quickly and then...
Many incidents in Shasta. I'm not sure which one.
Well, you said you had you had many incidents of physical contact in Shasta?
No, in Shasta, physical contact, just one, in
mm-hmm.
2012.
Were a being?
It was in the month of September, the 21st, 22nd of September. We were camping in Shasta. And at some point, I separated from the group. Looking for someone, when I felt the light so bright in that specific location of the open forest, and I remained there for a little bit thinking that I was going to meditate. At the distance, there was a hill like 50 meters away from me, and behind the trees I noticed the movement of some people, and I thought they were hikers from mm-hmm. Shasta City. They looked like young people. They were wearing suits of, like the people that drive the bicycles. Have you seen
mm-hmm.
those suits very
bicycle
close?
Bicycle suits, yeah.
Yeah, but those were white. At the distance, I could notice that. And they had long hair. They were, like, blonde. And at the moment, I didn't want to think much. Like, because it's not a common place to have an encounter during the day. So clear, so I thought, there must be some hikers, and I just threw my face and tried to continue the meditation. Then I felt the thing, or that, again, the feeling the embrace, and I was like, no. And I look again, and from the group separated one of the guys and walked towards the front of the hill, and he lifts his hand. His blonde hair, his body muscular, but not as tall as the first guy I saw years before. And then I sense the name of this guy is Sambiak. We in Rama have the communication with him through psychography, rarely physical.
What's his name?
Sambiak.
Sambiak?
He's supposed to be from the bases in Venus.
Mm-hmm.
They are colonies from the group of stars. It's called the
Pleiades.
Pleiades.
Okay.
Yes. You see, I'm not well versed in astronomy or anything.
No.
And what happened is this guy just saluted like that, and I thought to myself, just keep there and send me whatever information because I cannot handle this again. And then from the group in the back, a woman detached and started walking down the hill. And it was definitely a female figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she got high boots. And she walked straight line down the hill. Then she turned, and then she walked towards me. Like she was in a kind of catwalk or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird because when I hear the sound of her steps, I turn my face to look down. Her feet were not touching the ground, and that really shocked me. I was like, this is not normal. So I just sit back. I was sitting on this piece of wood, some tree that somebody cut there. I was sitting like that, so I did this, and I just closed my eyes. And I heard her steps getting closer, and she was right here. And then it was like she was holding me, like, she made me remember the moments when we worked together in the past. In this lifetime and in some other place, I don't remember. Maybe she deposited some kind of imagery that doesn't exist but made me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in the year 1995, I was driving my car in San Jose City when I felt my heart very agitated. I stopped there. I thought I was going to have a heart attack or something. And then I realized there was an energy oppressing my chest. And at the moment I said, I just want to know what is going on. This is not me. What's happening? And I closed my eyes and I saw my vision going through the sky. And I saw this thing coming, like making this
spiral
swirl in the air. And it stops. And I saw the letters of a newspaper. And it says, accidente aéreo, in Spanish is, English, airline accident or something like that. And the A from one word and the A from the other touch from the words and put together, one red, one blue, and I noticed the logo of American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I saw myself inside the plane, and I noticed the people, and then from the middle somebody yelled something, and some people tried to look to the thing. And then an explosion from the front, like, it was so violent and sudden. And then I was inside the plane again. And then the guy again said, look at this, and everybody turned. And then the explosion, it was like a repetition of the same thing over and over. And then I noticed this yellow light outside the plane, through the windows in the side. And I knew that is not normal. And then somebody called me. I was with a radio working that day in San Jose. And then they took me out of that vision. And I thought, this is happening. And I have to do something to avoid that. So I started working with my mind, trying to protect the airplane with light and whatever they taught me in Rama usage that day. But I was working so fast, hour after hour. And when I went back home, I turned on the TV. And in the news, there was this airplane for American Airlines crash against a mountain in Colombia.
Oh, yeah, I remember
like
that.
Like 90-something people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was so pissed off. I was so mad that day because it's like, why do you have that ability if you're not going to be able to use it?
Right.
I remember that I went to my room. I was like, crying. I was mad. And then I complained about it. Like, you don't give me this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it, and something. And I went to my bed, and then I felt this energy again. And then I was flying towards the thing. It was night already. The debris were all over the place, flames and everything. And these ships stationary on top of the location. That's not what you see in the news, but I saw the thing right there.
Beautiful.
And I descend, and I saw these beings standing there, between them this female, and that was Anita, the woman that was now in Shasta with me. And she told me, tonight, names are not important, you are here to do the job that humankind is supposed to do, because we are not saving anybody, we are teaching you how to save yourselves. And I asked her, why didn't you protect the airplane? You were there. You could have used your technology. Mm-hmm. Just make it descend mm-hmm. peacefully. She told me, sometimes we do, but we have to alter time. And sometimes we cannot, because the karma or the energy created by that particular population is too strong. And in that case, you are the one supposed to help. And I told her, what am I supposed to do? And she told me, look around. And there were like bubbles, like spheres. And inside every sphere, there was a person trapped in his own history of the accident. This gentleman was reading the magazine. When he heard someone yelling, he looked, and then the explosion and the sea in front of him broke him, his shoulder. And then he repeated the event again, over and over. And then an attack approached him, entered the bubble, grabbed him by the shoulders and told him, you're ready, this is done, this is not real anymore. And then she took him out, and the whole bubble like vanished. And he realized he was not in a physical body anymore, and he started helping too. She told me that what they did is create a capsule of time around the event, because they know the energy can spread easily to the collective consciousness. If that happened, the whole humankind level of vibration lowers.
Okay.
So what they
into fear, right?
Exactly.
Fear is the thing.
They try to protect us from that collective fear of that group.
Right.
So now that the event already happened, the energy is still trapped there. And now the higher consciousness in humankind is supposed to fix that. So now they call us. And you guys do the work without even knowing. Many of the people that were there, like me, they were not conscious. They thought it was just a dream at night. But we were doing the job. We were taking those consciousness out of fear to realize where they are now. And then all together we grabbed hands when we got all the people out. And we called this light that was like a cylinder going down. And then we enter, and these beings that didn't have the physical body, they just went up. And they vanished. So
this is like a life after death experience with people that die violently.
Yeah.
Right?
And these aliens help us to be the buffer between those experiences.
So this is like the work you do almost though, because you do a lot of work with troubled people, right?
Yeah.
So you're doing what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
But with a little extraterrestrial help. Right, because you have the awareness of what this means in the overall scheme of things of one's life. You have the awareness.
You could say that.
You're not just doing it because you're a hypnotherapist and you know you have an hour and you're doing it as part of an overall collective experience.
Definitely, we are part of everything. We are helping the whole group
to raise their consciousness.
The next level.
Now, to end this interview, because I could talk to you all night, and we'd be here till tomorrow, what advice could you give the people that aren't at that level yet? What would you say? How do we go there? How can we think this way? What advice? Other than become a vegetarian and meditating, which a lot of people are doing now, but what kind of thinking would help us?
You mentioned fear.
Yeah.
And that's definitely the key. We have to realize that there are only two emotions, it's fear and love, and one of them is real, the other is not. But whenever you focus your attention in fear, Your mind, your all-powerful mind, is creating the conditions of fear. So now try to use all that power into the creation of what is loving, what is embracing, what is peaceful. We have that power. We can do it. But as long as we collectively are focusing only on the fear and the bad stuff, unintentionally we are creating more of it. So let's search in our minds. Let's realize, when is this thought pointing at whatever I don't want? If I realize that thought is really bringing me what I don't want, then I'll stop there. I forgive myself for thinking that way, and I'm focusing now on the opposite. I'm embracing, I'm loving, I'm helping. And as long as I keep doing that, you will see the reality transforming in front of your eyes. Real miracles happen when we shift our minds. The power is not moving physical stuff. The power is in the cause of all reality, and the cause is in the mind. You don't need a mind that is fearful. You need a mind that is loving. And that will secure our position in a higher level of vibration.
And then we will all be in the collective consciousness ready to embrace contact.
We aren't really there, only that we cannot recognize that as long as we feel the fear.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening and so wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Scott, hey, I'm going to give you a hug.
You are amazing. I could talk to you all night.
Thank you.
I could really feel when you speak. You speak.